Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I thought very hard and deeply about these things and saw that God controls the actions of wise and righteous people. He controls even their love and their hatred. Nobody knows anything about the future. It makes no difference. Well, as I've been saying, Solomon does accept that God exists, but he quite clearly doesn't really believe in the true God, as is revealed in the Bible, and as his father David believed in. Because he seems to be saying that whatever happens in life, God sort of made it happen. And so even if you're righteous or wise, well, God controls your actions. Well, God has given us free will. We have the choice to behave as we do. And God wants us to choose for him. He doesn't want robots. He wants us to choose for him. So you can really see here a sort of a dissection, a sort of an opening up of the psychology, the mind, the heart of somebody who has really gone wrong in their faith. And these are the sort of thoughts that were coming into Solomon's mind and what he claims, that, you know, God's controlling everything. He controls whether you hate somebody or whether you love somebody, so don't worry about it. That's not the case, because we are told that we are to love. And John, for example, in his letters, is very clear that we are to love. And if we don't love, then we hate our brother and we walk in the darkness and we won't be in the kingdom. So it does matter, and it is for us to decide how we want to live. So he goes on. The same fate comes to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the bad, to those who are religious and those who aren't, to those who make sacrifices and to those who don't. So a good man isn't any better than a sinner. A man who vows to serve God is no better than one who doesn't. One fate comes to all, and this is as wrong as anything that happens in the world. So long as people live, their minds are full of evil and madness, and then suddenly they die. Anyone who is alive in the world of the living has hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Well, again, he's right and wrong. He's right that we're all going to die, that is true. But to say, and therefore there is no difference, it doesn't matter how you live and everything is meaningless, no. You see, he comes to this wrong idea because he refuses to accept the resurrection from the dead and the judgment. Now, his father David very clearly believed in that. And, of course, God had promised that David would have this great son who would have an eternal kingdom. And we know that that came true in the Lord Jesus. But Solomon knew those promises, but he assumed it all applied to him. And so he didn't look ahead to Jesus and to the kingdom. He thought it's all now. And so if you think it is all now and that's all you're going to get now, well, what that means then is that, yeah, I suppose in the end it doesn't matter whether you're righteous or wicked because you're all going to die anyway. And if that is the end of everything, well, yes, I suppose that is how it is. But it is not the end of everything, because there is a judgment, and God is going to judge. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob lived in faith, were promised they would inherit the earth forever. They died not having received what God had promised. But God keeps his promises. And if there's nothing beyond the grave, then you have to say, well, God promised and didn't keep it. No. God keeps his promises, and those men will be resurrected when Jesus comes back and will inherit the land that was promised to them forever. So to say that it doesn't matter how you live and there's nothing really further after death, this is absolutely not right. But he's always mixing truth with error. And he does say some true things, for example, that in death we are unconscious, and that we are all going to die. Well, yeah, that is true. So, the living know that they're going to die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward. They're completely forgotten. Their love, their hate, their emotions all died with them. They will not again take part in anything that goes on in the world. But again, mixture of truth and error. It's true that the dead know nothing. That is proven many times in the Bible. Death is unconsciousness. You learn that right in the beginning, when the punishment for Adam and Eve is to go back to the dust. And that's it. We're made of dust and we go back to the dust. But it is not true that there is no further reward and they're just completely forgotten. All live unto him, unto God. That is, God doesn't forget his loved ones who have died, just as we don't. And it's true that they have no emotion in the grave. That is true. But it's not true that they will never again have any part in the things that happen on the earth. They will do, because they'll be resurrected if they are faithful and God's people. So, all the Bible is inspired. But there is a difference between inspiration and revelation. That is, sometimes you read, "Thus says the Lord," da-da-da, and that is God speaking, that is God's view. But you read parts of the book of Job, where Job's friends condemn God and condemn Job, and then later God says himself, that's not the case at all, and that isn't the case. And so it is here with some of the things that Solomon says. These things are not all true. And yet it's not a sort of a thus says the Lord. This is a man who's lost his faith, who's in depression. And the record of what he says has been recorded by inspiration for us to learn from. So he says, go ahead, eat your food and be happy. Drink wine, be cheerful. It's all right with God. Just look happy and cheerful. Enjoy life with a woman who you love, as long as you live the useless life that God has given you in this world. It's not true that life is useless. Life is to be used to serve God. You think of all the good that was done in the life of Paul or David or, above all, the Lord Jesus. It's not true that life is useless. Enjoy every useless day of your life, because it is all you will get for all your trouble. Work hard at whatever you do, because there will be no work, no thought, no knowledge, nor wisdom beyond the grave. And that is where you are going. Well, yeah, again, he is saying that this life is the only place, the only time that you're going to live. And it's not true. Jesus offers us eternal life, the resurrection of the dead. And Solomon says, and I concluded something else, that in this life, the race is not to the swift, it's not to the fastest, and the battle is not to the strongest. Wise men do not always find wealth. Clever men don't always get rich. Men of ability don't always get high positions. Bad luck happens to everyone. You never know when your time is coming. Like birds that are suddenly caught in a snare, like fish caught in a net, we get trapped when we least expect it by evil. Something else I concluded. A good example of how wisdom is thought about in this world. There was a small town without many people in it. A powerful king attacked it and surrounded it and was besieging it. A poor man lived there, but he was very wise, and he saved the town. But nobody afterwards thought about him. Wisdom is better than strength, but no one thought of that poor man afterwards, or paid any attention to him. It's better to listen to the words of the wise in quiet than to the shouts of a ruler at a council of fools. Wisdom does more good than weapons, but one sinner destroys much good. So this is all true, in a sense, but Solomon seems to be saying that even wisdom is pretty pointless, because you yourself are not going to live forever, even if you're wise, and you don't always get a reward for being wise. So his motive for wanting God's truth was not very good. He thought it would make him look good. People would think, wow, you're a wise man. But then as he gets older, he realizes that, well, I'm going to die anyway, And unfortunately, he doesn't allow himself to have what was quite clearly taught to believers of his time, that there will be a judgment at some future point when the kingdom of God is established on earth. And that's the perspective that we have to learn from the mistakes of Solomon.